Well, thank you. When Charlie asked me to do this, my first thought was absolutely not. You know, it's hard, maybe hard to believe, but at my age, I've never really given my whole testimony in front of a group of people. Throughout my life, I always wanted to have one of those, what I would call a Cinderella testimony. You know, I became a Christian at six. I lived happily ever after. Amen. It really hasn't worked out like that. I would really call my testimony a journey to grace. And what I want to do today is just kind of hit the high points or the significant events in my life and in my journey to grace. I would say that my testimony basically started out at about age, I was about age 16, lived in Stillwater, Oklahoma. If you've all ever been there, the home of Oklahoma State University. And I would start out with just the comment, just pray this prayer. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but that's the way it started out. It was a time at 16, I knew something was missing in my life. I didn't really know what it was, but and I occasionally attended a Baptist church, not very often, but occasionally. And I had talked to my mom about becoming a Christian. Well, she responded by immediately calling the pastor of the church we belonged to come counsel me, and he came to the house to counsel me. And the first question he asked me was if I wanted to accept Christ as my Savior. I said, I think so. What do I have to do? The pastor said to me, he said, I wrote some of this down so I wouldn't forget the exact words. I had to think about it long and hard. It's been a while. The pastor said, pray this prayer that I will lead you in, and Christ will come into your heart. Well, I prayed the prayer, carefully repeating the words of the pastor. Looking back, I realized I was still lost as a goose. My sister, but something unusual happened. My sister, who was not involved in the counseling session, but was in the next room listening in on all this, trusted Christ as her Savior. I prayed the prayer. My sister got saved. I got nothing. And I was thinking, you know, it's just like my sister to grab what was supposed to be mine. So, anyway, that was about 16. Some years later, about 19, I joined the Navy. I was in Naples, Italy, with the U.S. Navy. And I was having a conversation with a young man. And he asked me the question, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? And at that time, I said, I don't have a clue. What do I have to do? He said, trust Christ as your Savior. At that time, I believed in Christ as Savior and was saved. After that, I was introduced to people who were anxious to teach the new kid all about the Bible. They started showing me Scripture, started teaching me about Scripture, and I started learning how a Christian was supposed to live. I would call this training in legalism, part one. I was taught that if you're really a Christian, here's a list of things that you will do daily. The list of things included such things as witnessing, praying, repenting or turning from all your sin, reading your Bible, and confessing Christ publicly on a daily basis. And it went on, and the list went on and on and on. And I thought, maybe I can handle that. And just about the time I thought I could handle it, they came up with another list. It said, if you're really a Christian, there's also a list of things you will not do. And at that point, they introduced me to the what I would call an amplified vice list. So now, I had two lists that I had to maintain in order to prove I was a Christian. My focus shortly after that went from trusting Christ and keeping a steadily growing, it went from trusting Christ to keeping a steadily growing list of rules to validate my salvation. I struggled with the rule list for about a year and then gave up. I thought, I will never be good enough to do all this, so I must not be saved. If I'm going to hell, I might as well live like it. Then, back to the old lifestyle, but now it's worse, because now I feel guilty about it. The next significant moment in my life was about 2 years later, about 2 years after the point of basically giving up on trying to live the Christian life. About 21 years old, in the middle of the Mediterranean. God can get out on the water too. And I was just thinking, you know, it really wasn't a big event in my life, but it's one that I'll always remember because of what happened. And I was just sitting there, I was getting ready to write a letter, and I was just thinking, wouldn't it be great if there was only one thing you had to do to be right with God for all eternity? Wouldn't that be great? And I just happened to think of, I was getting ready to write a letter, and you know how sometimes you're thinking, you scratch little doodles on a piece of paper. I had scratched or drawn a little picture on a piece of paper. And this may not sound significant to you, but looking back, it was to me. But it was a little stick figure of a man trying to hold up a cross. The cross was basically leaning over at about 45 degrees, and you can imagine this little man trying to hold it up. And he's struggling to hold it up. And if he lets go of it, the cross is going to fall over. And I thought, well, that's an excellent picture of what I thought Christianity was at that time. It's the cross of Christ that has to be maintained by my strength, my effort, my goodness. And for that reason, I thought it was significant. Then we'll go on to what I would call training in legalism, part two. Probably shouldn't be telling my age at each one of these, or you'll think I'm 105. But age... approximately 32 years old, lived in North Richland Hills, Texas. I was basically living a life of self-reliance, followed by failure, followed by repentance and the associated lack of assurance of any salvation. At that time, I sought counseling with the pastor of our Baptist church. I told him my story about trusting Christ at age 19. When I told him that story, I asked him a question. Did I get saved at 19 or not? He said, did you repent of all your sins? I said, I guess not, knowing that my life could have been better. And then he said, you were never saved. A new commitment to Christ at that point. I thought, well, I'll get it right this time. I made a new commitment to Christ. I got baptized again. In fact, some of the wrinkled appearance you see here is not age. It's multiple baptisms. I'm actually much younger than I look. Anyway, after that, my life was one of asking Christ into my heart over and over again, hoping I was sincere enough each time, and it would really take. You know, I'd ask Christ in my heart, something would go wrong with my Christian life. I said, I must not have been sincere enough. So I think I did that about 1,000 times. Baptism was somewhat less than that. I basically felt like a plant that was stunted. It had life in it, but it wasn't growing. And I came to a point in my life, I'd say about age 50, as hard as that is to believe, when I lived up in Hearst. I just came to the point that I said to God, I can't continue this struggle anymore. I was just happened to be out. We had some woods behind our home. I was out walking through the woods. And This was the turning point. I was basically just decided I couldn't do it anymore. I told God, I called out to God. I told him that I made a mess of my life. If there's anything left of this life and you want it, you can have it and do whatever you want. God at that point, and I call this my miracle time, because God, you know, you think God doesn't intervene in lives anymore, but he does. He intervenes quickly and strongly and decisively. God began to work almost immediately. It was almost as if a bright light illuminated the scripture that I'd always read before. And for the first time, I could see and understand things that I could never see and understand before. I was just taking people's word for stuff. And I would call it, without sounding too charismatic or anything, I'd say I had some revelations from God. I call them my revelations. There might be better words for them. Revelation number one was, Paul, your legalistic teachers are simply wrong. Revelation number two, that what Christ did on the cross is adequate for your sin problem. Now think about that. How many people like me don't know that or don't believe that? Revelation number three, all you have to do is believe it. Revelation number four, those who teach that there is more to eternal salvation than trusting Christ as Savior simply don't understand God's grace. And I call these my four revelations from God. I'd say at this point, and by the way, that hasn't, since I told you that was age 50, I want to also add that hadn't been all that long ago. I would say at this point, it's a good and wonderful thing to be a growing Christian. God's revelations through Scripture have since been confirmed by others. In other words, what God has shown me about His grace has been confirmed by others. Some of these names you may have heard, some of them not, like Earl Rodmacher, Bob Wilkin, Lewis Sperry Schaefer, even our own Charlie Bing. My life and performance, I can't say they're perfect. They're not perfect. I still have failures in the Christian life, but I'm headed now in a positive direction of growing in grace. I am now confident that Jesus Christ is my Savior because I believed in Him for salvation and for that reason alone, not because I morally reformed or repented of my sins or made a commitment to follow Christ or said the right prayer. I can just say faith alone and Christ alone. This is the truth that will make you truly free. John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank you.